Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shope.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hey, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. The topic for today is sound, audio, hearing your show, etc.
Are you talking to me?
Well,
I can't hear you.
Wake up. I'm talking to you.
I said. There we go. We have experienced shows that are maybe pretty to look at and wonderfully choreographed and
maybe even well directed.
And yet, for some reason, you cannot hear the dialogue or you can't hear what's going on in a number of different ways. And this is an issue. I mean,
definitely.
Personally, not being able to hear what's going on is probably a bigger problem than maybe if the costumes aren't so great.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, the whole idea is the story moves forward.
Right.
I mean, you can have a crappy costume, but if you can't understand
and
the story.
We do have crappy costumes, but not so much anymore. But yeah, you're right. If you can't follow the narrative of the storyline and you're constantly going, what'd he say? What'd she say? What's that? What's going on? You might as well leave because you're not going to figure it out at all.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, and so sometimes the problem is the actors themselves.
Right.
And so directors really, I think, need to focus on that whole projection, diction, enunciation issue.
I think enough theater companies have started relying on microphones that they're not teaching people the basic basic techniques of how to use their body to create sound. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And unfortunately,
the physics of projection.
Right,
in other words,
right. But I think unfortunately, some theaters where they use body mics, the problem remains because the theater itself is acoustically a killer. I mean, just unless you're facing out front and speaking loudly, your voice is lost on half the audience.
Well, and I think going back to where if it's strictly the actors, one of the problems is that the director doesn't always notice that there's an issue because the director knows the script. So the words make sense to him or her. And so you get used to, if you're working in a particular building a lot, you're kind of used to the quirks of it. And I think that it's easy to forget that, you are not the only audience member as a director. I mean, it sounds good. You understand it. What's the problem?
And that's part of my responsibilities when I come start watching a rehearsal, is because I do have fresh ears. I'm not so well versed with the script. And so when I sit there, I'm listening really hard to, cause it's a lot, especially the first and second time I'm listening to it, and I'm thinking, do I understand that? I mean, how is it sloppy? Is there diction poor? What needs to be happening here? And then I will give a few notes on that kind of thing to try and make sure that people are using their projection and their diction well. And so I think a fresh set of ears for a show can be really helpful.
Well, I'm sure it definitely can.
During rehearsal.
And that for any group that has an artistic director who is supposed to oversee the quality of each production, that's part of what they should be doing. But by the same token, the director should be aware enough to walk the theater, not just sit center of the auditorium and listen. You have to go very far to the left and very far to the right, and just sometimes close your eyes when you're listening and see if you can understand what they're saying.
That's definitely, I think, a director's responsibility.
And absolutely,
a lot of times directors just get stuck right in I worked with a director at a semi-professional company who would always sit in the exact same spot. I think Marcia knows who this
is.
And so a lot of times the audience on the other side of the building could never understand a word that was being said. But if you sat in the right section, you were fine.
Well, yeah, and I think we have the issue here is where we're a proscenium stage here, and we have a spot in the middle, which is kind of an ideal spot for a temporary table to be set up kind of over the seats. That's the director's table during all the rehearsals. It also happens to be one of the worst places to hear in the auditorium. Right. So in one sense, if you can hear well there, that means that everybody else is going to hear pretty well, right. But it yeah. doesn't really excuse the director from moving around.
Right. Well, and also, I mean, yeah. that's a whole other thing. If the director doesn't move around, then they're not looking at their sight lines either, which means they may have blocked actors and stuff, but that's a whole nother conversation. But, I do think a director, cause I know that I can get lulled into the whole, I understand the dialogue thing, but if you don't have an artistic director at your theater, then just ask one of your friends, you know, just right. say, hey, I need to know, we're doing a diction check tonight. Come on in and tell me what you think.
Right.
Can you understand
someone
the dialogue?
Someone who's not familiar with text the show. And, yeah. right. and the yeah. dialogue yeah. and can, well, be honest enough to tell you, listen, from here to here, I couldn't hear it. Couldn't understand right. the thing.
Or it could be your, like if you have a lot of times our assistant stage directors manager. Become stage managers, but right. if your stage manager doesn't come in until a little bit later in the process, maybe that can be what you use your stage manager for. So you're not ruining the show necessarily for a friend, especially if the show has a fun ending or something.
Right. Right.
You know, but find somebody that can come in and help to listen to the show
yeah.
and make sure your actors are doing their job.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know anything that can ruin a show for me more quickly than not being able to understand what the actors are saying.
Mm-hmm.
In the first place, because of that, you don't know what their relationships are to each other. Sometimes you even don't know who in the heck they are. Supposed to be, mm-hmm. especially if there's a show that has a few actors playing many different roles, you know, and you right. have to determine who's saying what to whom at any particular time.
Right.
You can just about throw up your hands and go, oh, the heck with it. I don't care because I can't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. And that's what you tell your friends.
Right.
You know, it can really hurt.
A show.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. yeah. Word of
Definitely.
Mouth.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so if the problem is not the actors, then the next step is the problem is somehow the acoustics of the building are not working to your advantage, and you may have fewer options there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, then you're looking at money. And most of us in community theater don't have a lot of money to throw around.
But then I think you have to work doubly hard to make your actors understand that, number one, they have to enunciate. They have mm-hmm. to hit their consonants. Number two, they cannot rush through their speeches. Mm-hmm. It's like, whew, I'm glad I got through with that.
Right.
When nobody understands what they've just said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even in a bad house, if the consonants are all there, you're in much better shape.
It helps yeah. a lot,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah, and I do know of some theaters that kind of rely on microphones thinking that that's going to be the savior for their acoustical problems. And sometimes it just, I think
makes
it,
louder.
The
mush.
Word exacerbates. It exacerbates the problem
right.
because,
well,
if the speakers aren't in the right spots or, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm going to say we use microphones here rarely, but we will use them, especially in musical theater. If a person's voice isn't necessarily strong enough to come up over the orchestra, even after we've pulled the orchestra back as far as we possibly can.
Yeah. And you don't mean position wise. You mean sound level wise.
Sound level wise.
Well, you're
yeah.
talking right. about pushing them back. Seat them in the back of the house. Maybe they'll be all right.
No, I tried to put them in the scene shop, but they won't let me put them in the scene shop. So.
But I know what you mean. Okay.
But yeah, so, you know, so a microphone can be a friend, especially if it's helping a young performer who you don't want to stress their voice out. To the point where they might lose it because they're not used to pushing. Again, that's training, you know, just yeah.
Okay,
learning.
Then here's my next question, because I kind of agree with you and yet I kind of don't, because when you train somebody, you teach somebody that, oh, they have a mic so they don't have to push. It's not going to hurt their voice, blah, blah, blah. What happens when they get in a situation where they have no microphone?
Well, but that's the thing. People don't train people. And that was where my next step was. People are not training people how to use their microphones correctly, because you cannot use a microphone and have it do the work it's supposed to do if you're not supporting and doing all the technique that you're supposed to do. So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You have to teach your actors how to use their diction, how to use their projection, and then let the microphone support that. not try to do all the work because the microphone can't do all the work.
And I think you're better off
if you've got an actor that projects,
sloppy is sloppy.
The microphone's going to work better. It's always possible to turn a microphone down.
Right.
It's not always, but if somebody's just sort of mush mouthing them through, then you can't boost them enough to make that understandable.
And that was something that I talked to another theater about one time, because they were relying heavily on microphones to do a lot of the work. But they weren't asking, from what I understood, they were not asking their actors to do their work.
Mm-hmm.
And so the microphone, they were trying to make the microphones do all the work. And then the sound system, if that community theater couldn't afford to put all that money into it, baffles and all the other stuff that they needed to make it work.
Yeah.
And so they really needed to make sure that their actors were doing their job. And once they did, it kind of helped produce a better sound quality for them.
Yeah.
So it goes back to training your actors how to use their vocal gifts, you know?
Well, and like in a musical then too, I was just talking about the orchestra. It's important.
Oh, yeah.
And, like in a play, when the director circulates the auditorium, listening to the actors, in a musical, it's the same thing. A lot of times it'll be the music director's responsibility or the vocal director's responsibility, I should say, to walk the auditorium, listen to the orchestra, listen for balance, and make sure that you're walking your auditorium all the time during the final couple of production weeks, so that you know your sound quality is strong. And if the orchestra is hot, hopefully you have a good enough relationship with the music director that you can then talk to the music director and say, you know what, you need to calm it down here. This person's voice isn't strong enough to come up over that much trumpet or whatever. And it works really well. And that's why you want to make sure that you really like your production team. That everybody's has friends, everybody's friendly, and you go to get a beer after rehearsal or whatever. And just, because you want to make sure that everybody's working well together and there's no animosity between directors.
Getting back to enunciation and diction too, especially in a relatively intimate theater. Now, if you're going to someplace, mammoth, where, the people are little specks on the stage, it probably doesn't make a lot of difference. But in a smaller theater, enunciation and diction also means that this sounds kind of strange, that the person is moving their mouth correctly for the words. Okay. And I think that we read lips more than we think we do.
Absolutely.
And it really helps if I can see you and I can see what you're saying as well because you're enunciating correctly. Not only that, that's just another, it's like sound reinforcement, mm-hmm. except it's a visual reinforcement of what I thought I heard kind of thing. And so I think that that's also helpful. And that's again, why we have to train actors to open their mouths and say the words correctly.
Well, and open up. A lot of times directors like to, so now we're kind of on to the directors here. Directors like to block their actors upstage. Sometimes facing like three quarters up, which or even full upstage instead of facing down, and that's why as a director you're constantly saying you need to open up your face, do your three quarters or do a full, if it's required, then you can use those three quarters up and full ups to be very dramatic moments if you need them. But I think part of that is because then the vocal quality or the sound is coming at the audience. It's not going upstage. Yeah.
But you're also seeing it being created,
right?
In essence,
right?
Yeah.
Right. And so I think we want it to be natural as a director. You want it to look natural. And sometimes people turn their backs, then there are other things that as the director you have to do if you're going to ask your actor or actress to act up facing upstage, make sure they're projecting their voices, make sure their diction is impeccable.
Right.
I don't think people realize, or even some actors realize, how much a part of that is good diction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They think if they just speak more loudly, and I'm not going to scream into the microphone, but you know what I mean? If they make it louder,
yelling is not
that
projection.
It'll be okay. And that's not true.
Yeah.
Now I've gotten in trouble for over diction. Like really overemphasizing consonants and stuff like that.
You mean yourself or for your actors?
No, me personally.
Oh, you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
And tell us this.
I was doing the Will Rogers Follies and I was doing the accent, and when I was doing regular, just the acting portion of Will Rogers Follies, I was fine. Then when I started singing like something else.
I see. So you were not the country boy.
I was not enough country. So I was told to get rid of my diction.
Well, and accents cause a problem that way in general, not just with singing or, you know, or with that contrast that you create, but it's easy when you are not particularly good at an accent to get sloppy with it. I don't mean that.
I know what you're saying.
British accents. Everybody's got their own, right? That's the problem.
And most are unintelligible.
And you get that, and it's easy to get sloppy because you're going for some kind of an effect. And Southern is sort of the same way, I think.
And it's not knowing your accent well enough as an actor, and maybe even as the director, because then you don't know where your diction is supposed to be. You know what I mean? So and accents are hard studying. I mean, actors study them for years and years and years.
Well, some people are good at them, and some people are just not terribly good, and some people think they're real good at them, I guess.
I don't know. Don't look at me.
Yeah.
I could never do very...
Oh, really?
No, not great. Not great. I always maintain that if you spoke properly... with just enough inflection, you didn't have to do a really big accent.
Not usually. Not unless it's just really the story's just dependent on it or something, or the place is totally dependent on it. It's not always necessary. No. So anyway, microphones. Body microphones. Do we like those little things that come around your face and stick out and all that kind of stuff?
I don't. That's what we can afford.
I cannot stand the looks of those things.
And it's what you can afford.
Well, I really would, and really from a sound standpoint, I think it doesn't let the actor quote off the hook as much if you're using more of an area mic than if you're putting something right on them that they know that they don't have to push with. Does that make sense?
Yeah but I'm not sure it works like that.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I think maybe if you put a mic on them, they just kind of retreat even more vocally.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm saying an area mic is better because they like a mic.
You mean like hanging over the stage?
Hanging over the stage or across the front, that kind of thing. I think they have less excuse.
Unless you get them to, when they're crossing, if you have mics and they go from one thing right into another. And then it's like Lena Lamont. Right,
Yeah. That can happen. I mean, we've used really, and it was because somebody used to go to watch the Metropolitan Opera at the movies, and they noticed that they did shotgun mics all the way across the front of the stage.
Right.
At the Met. And we have done shotgun mics across the front of the stage for some of our larger productions, and it works really, really well as a general miking, and then you don't have to mic everybody individually. Mm-hmm. Or you can still mic people individually, but if you can afford better mics, then maybe you don't have to use quite as obvious of mics and, put them through their wigs and stuff like that.
Yeah. And also, if you do that, you have to have a really damn good sound person. Because I've seen where every mic is on a different key.
Yes.
And you're watching them and all of a sudden somebody speaks and you can hardly hear them. And then all of a sudden it goes bumped up and the sound person is going crazy.
Or else they go off stage and they cuss about how they screwed up the scene.
Because
the guy forgot to turn the mic off.
Yeah, that happened in the production of Susie. For me.
That's right, yes.
Really?
Not me personally, but one of the actors. It was a Sunday matinee, and one of the actors went down to the basement, and he had slipped or something on stage. I can't remember what it was. And the next thing I know, we're hearing, because they forgot to mute his mic, and you're hearing all this stuff.
Expletives deleted.
All right. Too much. Cool.
All right. Well, hey, send us your solutions, problems, issues, questions.
Really?
If we can answer them about audio issues and being heard as well as seen on stage. That'd be kind of an interesting interesting comment pool if you'll send those to us. And you can email those to John, Dave, or Marcia at theatergeeks.com, or you can use our form at theatergeeks.com. And hey, don't forget to stop by the store. theatergeeks.com/store, where we've got hats, cups, mugs, and all kinds of stuff. Remember that you can catch us at
Blueberry.
On blueberry.com, on the iTunes,
Stitcher,
TuneIn Radio, and all that kind of stuff.
I listened to him. I actually listened to him. Yeah.
You had a you started to have a comment there a moment ago, and I was wondering did I cut you off, sir?
He can't remember what his gun.
He had his mouth open, but maybe I
was just breathing.
It looked like you were about ready to say something.
I was breathing through my mouth today.
I'm sitting here not enunciating.
That's bad diction. Yeah,
using bad diction today. All right, that's all from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shalp.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.